No young organization. It's been there for years. When I was studying in the UK, I got to know them there. And alhamdulillah, after coming to Canada, I've worked with them in some small capacity. The good thing about Islamic Relief is that they're very well sanctioned by either the Canadian government or by the United Nations or by all multinational agencies. And they have the ability, because they have operations in almost like 40 countries with hundreds of field offices, to be able to discharge our responsibilities, especially those of zakat. They have people on the ground. They don't have to go to third parties. They don't have to go through all those problems that other organizations face, where they have to hire other people to carry out the discharging of zakat, etc. Islamic Relief is very, very well positioned in almost all these areas of conflict to be able to take your zakat money and discharge it. And the beauty about it is that 100% of your zakat contributions goes towards the programs that they have in place. None of it goes into administrative costs. So that's another thing I want you to remember. And the third one, alhamdulillah, is a great blessing of Allah, that today we have this Sheikh Sulaiman Mulla. I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't or hasn't heard about him. Alhamdulillah, great scholar from South Africa. The beauty about him, and this is me saying it, is that he's able to bridge the generation gap. He's able to talk to all levels of our community and explain to us our needs, our responsibilities, and the interpretations of the rules that apply to this problem that we have. So I'm hoping that at the end of this, we will be able to say, aha. Instead of saying aha, we will be saying, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the ability to understand what the problem is. Allah has given us a scholar who has interpreted all the necessary requirements of our deen that tells us what we are supposed to do at this time. And more importantly, we will present to you Islamic Relief, and they will be able to take whatever could contribute tonight, inshallah, and get it straight into those areas of need. So inshallah, we will get up again after the talk is over, and we will discuss how we can help each and every one of us in trying to alleviate some of the suffering, just a little bit of the suffering of the Muslim community.
The Sheikh doesn't need a formal introduction, so I'll give that a shot.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. Wa man ihtada bihadihi wa qtada bisunnatihi ila yawmi d-deen wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعددا يحسب أن ماله أخلد كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مقصدة في عمد ممددة وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لو كان لابن آدم واديا من ذهب أحب أن يكون واديان ولو كان لابن آدم واديان من ذهب لابتغى ثالثا ولن يملأ فاه إلا التراب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, one of the greatest challenges and catastrophes that has plagued and paralyzed the modern world today is that of greed. From a micro to a macro level, from a domestic to the international stage, from the average subject to the throne and the ruler and the monarch and the autocrat, everyone is gripped in the malady of wanting more and more in everything. This has only contributed to our collapse. It has only fueled our decline, and it has only exacerbated the crisis. None can deny intrinsically, inherently, by our very makeup, by our very anatomy, Allah has created within us that we aspire for more. But the Quran also tells us that we need to control and regulate it. The most apt thing to elucidate this here is the wisdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. جلس رجلان في ناحية الطريق. Two people sat on the side of the road. مع أحدهما خمسة أرغفة. One of them had five loaves of bread. ومع الآخر ثلاثة أرغفة. And the other one had three loaves. So two people had shared eight loaves of bread. Just when they were about to indulge, a person passes by, sort of courtesy, they said, "Brother, join us." These are the teachings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You are not a brother and you are not a believer if you eat till you satiated while your neighbor is hungry." We're living in a global village. Anyone affected by hunger anywhere is a neighbor to us. In the context of the globalization of the world, a neighbor would just not be your physical immediate neighbor, but it would be anyone and everyone across the globe. He would be a neighbor to us. So they said, "Brother, ta'al, join us." So he sat down. فَأَكَلُوا الْأَرْضِفَةَ الثَّمَانِيَ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ. So the three of them ate the eight loaves of bread equally. As he stood up, he then gave them eight dirhams. خُذَاهَا عِوَضًا عَمَّا أَكَلْتُ مِنْ طَعَامِكُمَا. It was kind of you that you provided me food as a token of appreciation. This is the teachings of Islam again. And I generally in my talks, I make these analogies and these anecdotes that Islam teaches us that we reciprocate the favors of people. This is of paramount importance in our marriage, in our working environment. If we mutually acknowledge people, we reciprocate the favors of people, then that is the recipe to sustain and to oil that relation, to moisturize that relation. But if we take things for granted and we don't acknowledge, then we lose the essence. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so generous in paying tribute to others that the books of hadith are brimming with his dedicated praises of every sahabi. Babu manatibi Abi Bakr, Babu manatibi Umar, Babu manatibi Shaykhin, Babu manatibi Ahli al-Bay'ah, Babu manatib, Babu manatib, Babu manatibi Aisha, Babu manatibi Khadija, Babu manatibi Maymuna, Babu manatib, the chapter on how good Aisha radiallahu anha is, how amazing Khadija radiallahu anha is, how awesome the people who pledge under the tree. لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا. Indeed, Allah is pleased with those who pledge their allegiance beneath the tree, and Allah knew what was in their heart, and Allah sent tranquility upon them. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أنتم خير أهل الأرض. أنتم خير أهل الأرض. You are the most dignified humans that inhabit the planet at this moment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would praise people very, very generously. Unfortunately today we lack it. Some people are generous by monetary, but not generous by spirit. Some people are generous by monetary definition. He can take us $1,000, and others cannot even do that also. You know, you get some people when you travel, you must take funds for yourself. And some when you travel, you're going to take for two. Because you know he's going to ride on your back. He's going to ride on your strength. That's his nature. He's forever a broke Johnny. He's forever dry. Some people are generous by monetary definition, but not spirit. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was generous by every definition. In English they say, a proud person is one who feels violated and injured when others are praised. He feels violated. He doesn't have the courage to praise. Nay, he doesn't have the strength to hear the praises of others. It's too much to bear. No. I cannot hear this. Say something else. Don't praise him. Somebody came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said,
came to Sayyidina Umar and said, "Anta khayrun min Abi Bakr." You see, you're going to get these comments, these remarks, these whispers, these messages, these hints. So we all know after the Messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the greatest. That is the absolute truth. And we say it categorically, unequivocally. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was walking and he stepped ahead of Abu Bakr. The Prophet said, "Tamshi amama rajulin lam tatla'i shamsu ala ahadin ba'da an-nabiyyina afdal min Abi Bakr." Abu Darda, have you realized you have just overstepped a human, that the sun has never risen on someone more noble than him after the prophets? That was Abu Bakr. So somebody came and told Umar, "Umar, people are raving about Abu Bakr. People are speaking to it. But honestly, in my opinion, you are greater than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." If somebody comes and tells me that, I'm like, "Brother, you want to say it again? You want to amplify your voice?" I think the brother's got a statement here. "What you were saying, brother? You, me? I'm, oh, right, I get you." That is why the Ummah is where they are. That is why the Ummah is where they are. The great Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi rahimahullah used to say, "Musalman tu girte girte itna gir gaya ki Allah ki qasam ab girne ki jagah nahi rahi." Tu girte girte itna gir gaya Allah ki qasam ab girne ki jagah nahi rahi. O Muslim, you have stooped, you have fallen, you have collapsed to such a limit, there's no more place to fall. You're like hitting the rock bottom. You're hitting the Dead Sea. You're hitting right down. How much are you going to collapse more? نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعِيبُ فِيْنَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عِيبٌ سِوَانَا نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعِيبُ فِيْنَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عِيبٌ سِوَانَا وَنَهْجُو ذَا الزَّمَانَ بِغَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا." As those who know Arabic, your hearts would burst. وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا دِيَانَتُنَا التَّصَنُّعُ وَالتَّرَائِي وَنَحْنُ بِهِ نُخَادِعُ مَنْ يَرَانَا." Shafi'i rahimahullah said, "We condemn and speak ill of the time and the era and the period. But really we are the wicked ones, not the time. يقولون الزمان به فساد وهم فسدوا وما فسد الزمان يقولون الزمان به فساد وهم فسدوا وما فسد الزمان." Anyway, I don't want to get digressed. I can get lost in Arabic poetry. And if you know me, then I can, you know, I lose you, and those that will identify with me, we will go into another. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمٌ أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ وَالشُّعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمٌ أي في واد من أودية الشعر. That a poet can just sway around in the valleys of poetry. Be it as it may, I was saying to you that our problem is that greed has paralyzed us. And we were talking about the need to appreciate, to say kind words, to reciprocate. It's a great teaching of the... I had once delivered a talk in a particular masjid, and I spoke about reciprocation, acknowledgement, mutual, you know, recognition. Years later, a gentleman phoned me and he said, "Sheikh, I really want to thank you. I applied that prophetic formula in my corporate environment, and believe it or not, I've been promoted to a managerial level." I said, "And some perks of the salary doesn't come my way?" He's like, "No, Sheikh, I just want to thank you." I said, "Anyway, it's the Prophet's awesome word." He said, "I just started a simple gesture in my company. Just thanking, appreciating, acknowledging, emailing, WhatsApp, just thank you, appreciate it, and just just being in touch with this here. It goes a long way. It goes a long way. So the gentleman stood up and he gave 8 dirhams. And he said, خُذَاهَا عِوَضًا أَمَّا أَكَلْتُ مِنْ طَعَامِكُمَا. This is in lieu of the bread that you gave me. He walked away. Now, look at human nature. Greed, what it does to us. So initially, two of us were sitting and eating. You gave 5 loaves, I had 3 loaves. We were going to eat. We had no hope or aspiration for any return, because nobody was coming on board. As soon as money came, and here now it became challenging, and here it became an issue. So now the 8 dirhams, the brother goes, now how do we split it? فَقَالَ صَاحِبُ الْخَمْسَةِ لِي خَمْسَةً. I gave you 5 loaves, give me 5 dirhams. You came with 3 loaves, you take 3 dirhams. Simple. So the brother who had 3 loaves, he said, no, no, تَكُونُ بَيْنَنَا مُنَاصَفَةً. I'm not going to settle on 3. We ate it jointly, so we're going to distribute this impartially and equally. 4 dirhams for you, 4 in my pocket. And you're back and forward, up and down, and litigation process, and there it goes. And I'll take him to the court, and I'll take him to the cleaners, and I'll expose him, and I'll sue him, and I'll... They say 2 kids were playing. One said, I'll be the doctor, you sue. 2 children were playing, I mean, maybe in North America, I guess. I'm the doctor, you can sue.
North America.
So he said, now I'm going to take 5, you're going to take 3. After a long ordeal, they said, let's go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. His wisdom was just amazing. A woman once came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and she said, Mata akhi wa taraka 600 dirham wa lam yuqsam li illa dirhamun. My brother passed away. He left behind an estate of 600 dirhams, and after that I only got 1 lousy dirham. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, لَعَلَّهُ تَرَكَ أُمَّنْ وَزَوْجَةً وَبِنْتَيْنِ وَإِثْنَا عَشَرَ أَخًا وَأَنْتِ. If you say 600 he left behind and you got 1, then my mind is telling me your brother left behind a mother, he left behind a spouse, he left behind 2 daughters, he left behind 12 brothers and 1 sister. She's like, yeah. So well, then everything is in order, because the mother will get 1/6. وَلِي أَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِنْ كَانَ لَهُمْ وَلَدٍ. My brother, connect yourself to Qur'an. My brother, for Allah's sake, connect yourself to Qur'an. We've lost our legacy. Our youth find interest in everything but the word of Allah. Sayyidina Uthman said, لَوْ أَنَّ قُلُوبَنَا طَهُرَتْ مَا شَبِعَتْ مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. If these hearts were cleansed, purified, then they would never have enough of the word of Allah. They would never see a sense of completion. It's unending. It's infinite. It's limitless. So the mother would get 1/6. So 100 goes to her. And then the 2 daughters or more. فَإِنْ كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكْ. 2 or more, they will get 2/3. So 400 dirham goes there, so 500 gone. So 100 is left. Then for the wife, as the Quran says, وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنْ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ. If you leave behind children, then your spouse, your wife will get 1/8. 1/8. So 1/8 that will go to her, she will get 75 dirhams. Now the brothers and sister left, there are 12 brothers, so they get 24. You are the 1 sister, you will get 1. It's not like, you know, punch it in and then it will give you the feed out there and everything. Just enter all the names and all the here and the program will print out. That was the intelligence of the Sahaba. That was the intelligence of the Sahaba. And there's a study that shows that if a person is a linguist or he speaks multiple languages, 2 or more languages, then it reduces the risk factor of dementia very strongly. Dementia today, Alzheimer's, more seriously, has caused great chaos in the world, and medical doctors don't have much to counter this yet, if you see at research. So they say if an individual speaks two or more languages, right, then it reduces. There is a narration in Hakim, كَانَ لِإِبْنِ الزُّبَيْرِ مِئَةَ غُلَامٍ يَتَكَلَّمُ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ بِلُغَةٍ أُخْرَى فَكَانَ إِبْنُ الزُّبَيْرِ يُكَلِّمُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ بِلُغَتِهِ. The narration is in Hakim. Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu had 100 slaves. Each one of them spoke a different language. Abdullah ibn Zubayr had mastered the 100 languages, and he spoke to every slave in his exclusive language. These things enhances your IQ. It only makes better of you. When a child comes home and he has a traditional language, he speaks to the seniors with respect. Learn English, become a linguist, master it. By all means, learn the grammar, learn everything that it is. بِقَدْرِ لُغَاتِ الْمَرْءِ يَكْثُرُ نَفْعُهُ بِقَدْرِ لُغَاتِ الْمَرْءِ يَكْثُرُ نَفْعُهُ فَتِلْكَ لَهُ عِنْدَ الْمُلِمَّاتِ أَعْوَانُ فَبَادِرْ إِلَى حِفْظِ اللُّغَاتِ مُسَارِعًا فَكُلُّ لِسَانٍ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ إِنْسَانُ. The more you learn, the better. The more the merrier. It's just amazing. So they come to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Ali said, I heard the whole case and I'm telling you, take your 3 dirhams and go, you'll be a happy man. He's like, no, I need 4. Sayyidina Ali said, listen to me, take the 3. No, I want equal 4. He said, okay, now that you insist that you want what you deserve and what is your due, then I'm sorry to inform you, you are only deserving of 1. Tough luck. So I'm grappling with 3, I'm trying to make my 3 into 4, and you demoting me, and from 3 you're making it into 1. Where's the logic? Where's the rationale? What did I say in my opening comments? I said greed has paralyzed us. It has caused us havoc in the world today. There's just no peace. There was an article years ago I read, and I quoted it back in the days in many of my talks. It caught my eye, it was on a notice board at the masjid. Dad, can I borrow $20? That's the article. It was intriguing and I passed it on in many of my talks. So the boy comes home and the dad returns from work tired and exhausted. Dad, how much do you earn? Back off, what do you want to know how much I earn, man? I'm taking care of everything. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I earn $20 an hour. You happy? Okay. Stumbles, murmurs, and then he goes away. Hops into bed and tugs up and sleeps away. As the anger settles, normality sets in, sanity prevails, the dad feels bad. After all, my son, my beloved, he came to me and he asked me something. There must be something that motivated him to it. So he comes there, gives him a bit of an embrace, gives him a bit of a hug, and says, I'm so sorry, my son, you were talking to me, yeah, I'm earning $20 an hour, and that's it. Well, what can I do for you? Where are you going with this question? He's like, Dad, it's been 10 years I haven't had dinner with you. And I know money means the world to you. So I've been saving up money to buy an hour to have dinner with my dad. I've been saving money here, hoping that one day I can come to you and say, Dad, listen, I'm ready to buy an hour from you. Because if I ask you, shut your practice, close your office, get back early, you're going to like, you don't understand, I've got this vision and plans and I've got so much to do. You know, and sometimes we want to teach children life, but they teach us life. Sometimes we lose it. These few youngsters boarded this little vessel and this uncle was taking them across in a little raft and a little boat. And this man, simple, primitive, laid back, orthodox, not much of the advanced life, not innovative, not hands-on with technology and the rest of it. And so he says, uncle, are you updated? Are you abreast with happenings around the globe? Sorry, what you talk? I don't know, what you say? Say, but uncle, have you done geometry, biology, science? Have you done this? Say, no, I don't know what you talk. Next best thing, there was a bit of rockiness in that little vessel, and he realized that now it's life or death. Hatta idha rakibu fil fulki wa jarayna bihim bi rihin tayyibatin ja'atha rihun 'asif جاءتها ريح عاصف وجاءهم الموج من كل مكان وظنوا أنهم أحيط بهم دعوا الله مخلصين. Now it's crisis. So the uncle said, you know swimmerology. You know swimmerology. Okay, well, if you know whatever you know, but if you don't know how to flap your hands and swim, then that's the end of it for you. That is where your life ceases. He said, let me tell you why you're only entitled to 3 dirhams. You're only entitled to 1. Now look at the logic of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. And then we want to be blown away by others. And we want to be impressed by others. We want to speak about, wow! If you don't know who your ancestors are, حَلَفَ الزَّمَانُ لَيَأْتِيَنَّ بِمِثْلِهِمْ حَلَفَتْ يَمِينُكِ يَا زَمَانُ فَكَفِّرِ. Where can you produce the likes of these great giants and legends and luminaries? The world will never see the likes of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He said, listen, the logic is simple. 3 of you ate 8 loaves of bread. So that means, and the words are the key words, is أَكَلُوا الْأَرْغِفَةَ الثَّمَانِيَ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ equally. So if 3 people ate 8 loaves equally, that means you're going to have to 8 divided into 3 equally doesn't happen. 16 going to 3 equally doesn't happen. So take it to the third level, 24. 24 divided into 3 equal. Each person had 8 portions. Because you said 8 loaves were eaten by 3 people equally. Correct. And equally would mean that 8 loaves was divided into 24 portions. And each person ate 8 portions. But yeah, that's correct. The 8 loaves, these 5, my 3, we divided the 8 into 24 portions. Okay.
وَأَرْغِفَتُكَ الثَّلَاثَةُ تُسَاوِي 9 أَثْلَاثٍ أَكَلْتَ مِنْهَا 8.
You had 3 loaves, right? Yeah, I had 3 loaves. Divide your 3, multiply it by 3 times, how many are you going to get out of it? 9. Out of the 9, how many you ate? 8. How much is left? 1. So how much do you deserve? Okay. وَصَاحِبُكَ أَرْغِفَتُهُ الْخَمْسَةَ تُسَوِي 15 أَثْلَاثًا. His 5 times 3, 15. أَكَلَ مِنْهَا 8. وَبَقِيَ مِنْهَا 7. أَكَلَهَا صَاحِبُ الدَّرَاهِمْ 7 مِنْهُ وَوَاحِدْ مِنْكَ ثُمَّ أَعْطَاكُمَا 8 دَرَاهِمْ فَلَكَ الْوَاحِدْ وَلَهُ 7. Your 5 loaves times 3, 15. You ate 8 from it, 7 left of it. The man who gave you the 8 dirhams walked away. He ate 1 of yours and 7 of his. So he must get 7 and you must get 1. Now, what I'm saying is, you know, in Gujarati, if you had zipped your mouth and walked away, you would have walked away with a handsome 3. But when you want to talk and open and fight, in the end, you it got reduced. So really speaking, my brother, greed has caused us great problems. It has broken our homes, it has destroyed our iman, it has shattered our society. Because each one is trying to bite more and more of the spine. And the hadith that I quoted of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْكَانَ لِي, these are the words of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَوْكَانَ لِي إِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِنْ ذَهَبْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ وَادِيَانَ. Man says, Allah, I just need 1 valley of gold. I just need this 1, Allah, I'm done. Then it's me and ibadat Allah. Then my life is for you. I just need to pay off this house, do this here, then that's it, I'm over.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
My word, if you can appreciate the gravity of this ayah, there are many of my bondsmen and servants who blatantly lie to me and say to me, Allah, if you give me money, I will spend in your path. I will earn your happiness and I will be the noblest of the people. Allah says, then I deliver and I honor my word and I give it to him. And he channels those funds in everywhere other than my obedience.
أَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ وَاغِيَانَ. Allah, I need 2 valleys. وَلَوْ كَانَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيَانَ نِبِيَسْتُ لَبْتَغَى ثَالِثَ.
Allah, I need 1 more. O Nabi of Allah, when will it end?
وَلَيْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُرَابُ.
When you lower him in the grave and you cover him with the soil of the grave, that's the only time it's going to make an impact on him. So the narration of Tirmidhi, an animal was slaughtered. And then the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba to distribute it. And it was distributed. And the shoulder was left. So Nabi ﷺ told Aisha radiallahu anha, what is left? She said, the shoulder is left. The shoulder is left. Nabi ﷺ said, no. Everything is left but the shoulder. Meaning what we spent is left because it's preserved. The shoulder has not been spent, so it's not left for us in Akhirah. This is here. This is not left. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was sitting. A beggar came and he asked for some money. So Sayyidina Ali told Sayyidina Hassan, go in the house and ask your mother for 1 dirham. Now we were just having a word with Dr. Saab and we were saying, the youth in particular, and a general message, we need to understand the grave injunction of zakat. Zakat is a significant branch of our deen. And let me say to you very clearly, and I say this to you on the strength of Quran and Sunnah, if we will discharge our zakat diligently, then we are ensuring ourselves with Allah. But if we delay in the discharging of zakat, we are pre-exposing ourselves to divine calamities. If we delay in the discharging of zakat, we are definitely going to expose ourselves to grave consequences. May Allah protect us. Allah referred to zakat in the Quran with a very unique phrase. Surah Ma'un. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. Oh, what's this whole tour Islamic Relief has invited me about and coordinated this year is about the tour for orphans and reaching out to the orphans. So what does Allah say? Have you seen the person who denies Qiyamah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And it is due to his denial of the day of Qiyamah, it translates in his harshness towards orphans. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ مَرَّتْ بَيْنَ الْآيَتَيْنِ أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. He doesn't believe in Qiyamah. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. He shuns, he shirks, he's harsh, he's hostile, he's abrupt towards the orphan. Why? Because he doesn't believe in Qiyamah, he doesn't believe in standing before Allah. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. He doesn't feed the poor and he doesn't even encourage the feeding of the poor. In this ayah, the Quran has not only reproached those who don't feed, the Quran has also put the spotlight on those who do not encourage the cause. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe be to those who offer prayer. Which kind of prayer? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Who are negligent towards their prayer. The scholars of tafsir tell us, and this is academic, that it's the grace and the clemency and the mercy of Allah that he didn't say فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah said, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe be to those who are negligent regarding their prayer. The Muslim can be guilty of that as well. But if Allah had to say, woe be to those who are negligent in their prayer, then no Muslim is spared. No Muslim is spared. Those that are really pious, may Allah make us among them. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Who just want to impress people, who want to do things to impress. Muhammad ibn Wasi' said, وَلَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتُ رِجَالًا. وَلَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتُ رِجَالًا. I've seen some people. كَانَ الرَّجُلْ يَنَامُ عَلَى وِسَادَتِهِ وَزَوْجَتُهُ تَنَامُ عَلَى نَفْسِ الْوِسَادَةِ. A man would go to sleep on bed, on one pillow, husband and wife sharing the same bed, same pillow. And then he would turn one side, his wife would turn the other side. فَتَسِيلُ دُمُوعُهُ عَلَى خَدَّيْهِ. And then his tears will trickle down on his cheeks. And he will contain his emotion that his wife must not get any idea that he is crying out of the fear of Allah. So that despite the bed being one, the pillow being one, the tears must be a secret between him and Allah. You know, we don't have any good. And the little good that we have, the devil doesn't allow us to keep quiet about it. Listen, you know, I don't know, tomorrow I can die. I'm just telling you, I help the masjid in case they drop off a receipt or something. I just told the wife, tomorrow, more qaza. So, you know, in case if they come to you from the masjid and they give you a receipt, just accept it that your husband's been doing some good actions. Well, your husband's been doing a lot of other things also, my good sister. Your husband's been through a lot of other things as well. Number one, we don't do good, and when we do good, the devil doesn't allow us to keep quiet about it. We talk. Muhammad ibn Munkadir came to Aisha radiallahu anha and he asked for some money. My mother Aisha said, you're such a good man, if I had 10,000 dirhams, I wouldn't have twitched my eyes, I would have given it to you. He walked out, someone knocked on the door. He said, is Aisha in radiallahu anha? Said, yeah. He said, just give her this gift from me, this 10,000 dirhams. He said, oh my Lord, are you testing me so instantly? Oh my Allah, are you testing me so instantly? It's easy to tell your wife, you know, if I had, I would have given you, and then you realize you get a beep and you say you got a bonus. I'm still going to service my car now. It's easy to make that commitment when the money is not there, and when it comes, which one of us can deliver? Aisha said, call him. Oh my Lord, I will honor my word. And she gave the 10,000 dirhams. Rabbi Allahu anha. So Allah then concludes the chapter and Allah refers to zakat as ma'un. Ibn Abbas says ma'un here is zakat. Ma'un, dissect it, do the etymology, break up the word, literally means trivial kindness, simple generosity, easy kindness. Allah made reference to zakat as a trivial act of kindness. The message is that the percentage that zakat is very, very minute of your estate. It's very small, it's ma'un. It's a small amount, it's nothing serious. And this is the kindness and the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that by virtue of that Allah flushes out the sickness and the tragedies and Allah purifies our wealth. So the Prophet Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is sitting, a banker comes, he tells his son Hassan radiallahu anhu, just go in the house and ask your mother, there are 6 dirhams there, I want 1 dirham. Now when we give and we spend and we display the same character to our children, then we are instilling in them good values. The child at a little age says, oh my dad, this is how generous he is, this is what he did. These are the values. Our children pay more attention to what we do than say. You might be saying 1,000 things, but they are watching, they'll mimic your habits faster than practicing anything else. And I say that with a cap of a father on my head. So some time ago, my 2 sons were busy having a chat. So I came there, I said, what you guys are all talking about? Dad, this is small people's talk, big people mustn't get involved. This is small people's talk, big people mustn't get involved. Now he's throwing you back that same line that you give it to him, you know, it's adults, juniors, juveniles, keep away. They throw it back to you, so sometimes you just got to take it in the spirit and we don't realize that each line is making an impression on the child. It's making, al-ilmu fi sighri ka naqsh fil hajar, the Arabic proverb is that knowledge in childhood is like engraving on a stone. It's indelible, it's permanent, it's making an impression on the child. It's had that permanent impression. And we're going to take that responsibility. So the little Hassan radiallahu anhu goes inside and look at what generosity his father taught him. So see how he grows up. I'll mention an incident to you now about his generosity. So he goes in and he asks his mom Fatima radiallahu anhu that dad is asking for a dirham. So Fatima radiallahu anhu, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, extend my apologies, there's only 6 dirhams and I kept it for basic food in the house. Allahu Akbar. You go and ask her, like, no, I need to buy my Eid shoe and I need to buy this here. My scarf is not matching this new cloak and, you know, this guy was holding his wife and walking in the mall. He says, brother, now you're in your late 50s, now you still can't be so romantic. And he says, no, first I have to do it for romance reasons, now I do it for economic reasons. Because if I let go, then she starts shopping. So you know what I mean? He said, brother, where are you going? I'm going for a marriage workshop. He said, brother, you go or you don't go. Marriage is a workshop. Man, work, woman, shop. So holding it for economic reasons, because then. So I remember once last year we were with my wife in Turkey, and then came to Dubai, and every kitab shop I go, and she looks at me like, are you going in this bookshop again? And every cloak shop I look at her, are you going in this cloak shop again? So every time she sees the bookshop, she turns me away. Every time I see a cloak shop, it goes the opposite way. But look at the value that Sayyidina Hassan was learning from his dad. When the mother said, I only have 6 and it's meant for food, Ali radiallahu anhu said, now tell your mother that trust in Allah is that you give at the hour. Trust in Allah, reliance in Allah, yaqeen in Allah. مَنْ يَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى مَالِهِ فَقَدْ قَلَّ وَمَنْ يَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى عِلْمِهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ وَمَنْ يَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى سُلْطَانِهِ فَقَدْ دَلَّ وَمَنْ يَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى عَقْلِهِ فَقَدْ اخْتَلَّ وَمَنْ يَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَلَا ضَلَّ وَلَا قَلَّ وَلَا دَلَّ وَلَا اخْتَلَّ. I'm not going to translate this. Reliance on Allah. So she gives the 6 dirhams. Subhanallah. Fatima was Fatima radiyallahu anha. She wasn't the ordinary, the casual, the average. She was Fatima radiyallahu anha. Sayyidina Ali takes the 6 dirhams and he gives it to the beggar, and off the beggar goes. The narrator of the hadith says, I'm second. And just then a man passes by with a camel. Sayyidina Ali said, you're selling the camel? He said, yeah, I'm selling it. How much are you looking at? 140 dirhams. Sayyidina Ali said, if you just tie it here, I will pay you. Tied the camel, and the man went. The narrator of the hadith says, the man barely left, and another man came, and he said, Ali, are you selling this camel? Said, of course I'm selling it. How much? 200 dirhams. He said, okay, it's a done deal. I'm saying, ya Allah, look at the barakah in this man's time. He gave charity, he taught his son a great lesson, he struck a deal, he's selling an item, he's selling the same thing, he made himself revenue, he made himself profit, all sitting. That was in my laptop, that's my office. I travel with it, I operate with it. I can monitor my whole operation from this year. Okay, good luck. This was clean, wholesome, pure, simple, honest, transparent, candid, best. How much are you selling it for? 200. Takes up the money and he gives it to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu takes the 140 dirhams and he gives it to the man from whom he purchased it. And then he calls Sayyidina Hassan and he says, now you went and collected the 6, now you take the 60 and go give it to your mother. Look at the child, look at the tarbiyah of the child. Look at what impressions are coming on the child. I often say that Hassan radiallahu anhu was 6 when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And at that tender age, he conveys to us the hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Da'ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuk. Leave that which is doubtful and embrace that which has no doubt. This narration reaches us via Hassan. And he was 6 when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. At that tender age, what profound prophetic teachings were impressed on the mind of this child, that this becomes the base for significant juristic rulings. We draw a cue and direction and navigation from this hadith, which was communicated to us by the junior Hassan, who heard it direct from the paragon of Allah's creation. Ask a 6-year-old child what his memories of his grandfather. Go fetch Nana cigarettes. You see, you mustn't smoke like me. My Nana say he can smoke. Oh Dada, Nana, you think I'm, you know, gender bias here, maternal, paternal, and I have any other, and just casually saying something. So he takes the 60 dirhams and gives it. Subhanallah. When Fatima radiallahu anha receives this 60, she says, what's this all about? Says, your dad told us, Muhammad said, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. In the morning you gave 6. The Quran said, Allah will minimum multiply 10 times, and Allah has multiplied here's your 60 back. Now, let's just pause for a moment. You say, Shaykh, oh, that's such a beautiful story, but that day is not going to happen to me. Yes, it's not going to happen to me. Why it's not going to happen to me? And why doesn't it happen to me? Let me tell you why. Number one, Sayyidina Ali parted with the only 6 dirhams he had. I don't have that courage. I've got this, and I have that, and I have that, and I'm still grappling with it. I want to pay this, I want to cover this, I want to secure this, I want to insure this, I want to buy this, and then I want to give.
It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work. Sayyidina Ali at that time gave the only 6 dirhams he had. Number one, this is my humble analogy. Second reason. A person comes and sells you the camel, you buy it, how much? 140 dirhams. Fine. Another person comes and asks you, you're selling it?
Yes.
How much you selling it for? 200? Okay, it's done. As soon as he agrees, then he said, hey, no man, I should have said 250. This guy was ready for any price, man. I'm telling you. Actually, brother, you know what? I spoke to my wife and we in the family some. What? What? That's it. That lie, that distortion, that is where barakah disappears from your life. It leaves you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-bay'a bil-khiyar, ma lam yatafarraqa. Fa'in sadaqa wa bayyana burika lahuma fi bay'ihima. Fa'in kadaba wa katama muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima." You're sitting there, as long as you're honest, you're transparent, Allah will bless it. Allah will grant goodness to it. Transparent, honesty, openness. As soon as you lie, you distort, you deceive, then you might promote the item, but you have obliterated and destroyed barakah permanently. Now the food we eat is not nutritious, it doesn't stimulate obedience, because where is the barakah in it? We oppose this, oppress that, lie to this person. That's the second thing. The third thing, I tell you why we don't get the barakah. The third thing is, finally somebody else comes and buys it. He bought it for 200. After he buys it for 200 dirhams, I don't pay the man that I'm owing 140 dirhams. I greet him, brother, make dua, I'm going for Umrah. I'm going for Umrah, inshallah.
But you're going for Umrah with my money. You're going for Umrah with my money. It's like, brother, what are you doing?
Relax, your money is safe. Your money is safe. So that is why that barakah doesn't come to my life and it doesn't come to your life. Now, just look at the value that Sayyidina Ali had impressed on his son Hassan and how that value passed on of giving. In English they say, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, you just gave. But if you love and you care, you cannot care or love without giving. Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, and their cousin Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu. They three embark on a journey of Hajj. Oh, can you imagine this journey? Who are the companions? I'm going with this travel agent, I'm going with that group. You're going with Hassan, Hussein, and Abdullah bin Ja'far. Oh my words. My eyes are green with envy. My body goes into spasm to imagine that rich gathering. Hassan, Hussein, radiyallahu anhumah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan from his navel up resembled the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hussein radiyallahu anhu from his navel down resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala had kept the entire persona and the entire appearance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam between Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhumah. What an honor, what a privilege for Ali radiyallahu anhu and Fatima radiyallahu anha. And their wisdom was just amazing. There was an old man that wouldn't perform wudu correctly. And now they wanted to approach this man. But how do we tell him? He might get offended. So they said, uncle, I'm going to do the ablution, please. And would you just see if it is correct? So they raised their sleeves and they started making wudu. And in doing so, the old man was wise. And he picked up the hint and the insinuation and he said, this can only be the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You haven't offended me, you haven't insulted me, yet with diplomacy and wisdom you have opened my eyes to a reality. May Allah bless you. Sayyida shababi ahli al-jannah, the leaders of the youth of Jannah. إن ابني هذا سيد ولعل الله أن يصلح به بين فئتين عظيمتين من المسلمين. This boy of mine is showing leading qualities, leadership. Allah will use him to unite two factions of this ummah. When Hassan رضي الله عنه stepped down from the Khilafah at the critical stage, and he said, I hand it over to my brother, not my rival, Sayyidina Muawiyah رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. We love, we honor, we cherish, we revere every Sahabi. Our iman revolves around that. There's nothing else we have to die with to meet Allah. We are complete fallible humans. But the love of Sahaba is something we hold very dear to our hearts. One great scholar gave this advice, and I say it often in my talks, don't ever tarnish yourself and embroil yourself in three disputes. The dispute of your parents. Don't involve yourself. One side is the door to paradise and one side is paradise. You can't tell them, no, mom, you were wrong. What? What an audacity. Who are you to talk to your mom in your face? This is something you don't get involved in. If there's a quarrel, get seniors involved. It's my parents, G. Your mother tells you something, G. Your dad tells you, yes. Fine. I cannot get myself involved in here because imagine the sensitivity. People don't open their mouth to their boss, their job goes. Don't open your mouth to this one, the love club goes. Don't open your mouth here, tomorrow you know what, you'll have an issue, this goes. Here your Jannah goes. Number one, your parents. Number two, the scholars, the ulama. When must I open my mouth? I want to talk to someone whom Allah has given the Quran and Sunnah in his bosom. I'm grappling and battling to memorize one juz of the Quran for the last 30 years. I don't know it. And this man is reading the whole Quran and has mastered all the hadith. And I want to. مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُجَارِي بِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَوْ لِيُمَارِي بِهِ السُّفَهَاءِ أَوْ يُصْرِفَ بِهِ وُجُوهَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ النَّارِ. He who learns knowledge just to prove the scholars wrong, just to secure the attention of people, just to gain fame, just to secure more hits on his Facebook, tell him with all his knowledge, he goes to hell first. I'm paraphrasing, that's not a verbatim translation of the hadith, let me qualify it. What I'm saying is, he acquires hadith with ulterior motives, with contaminated agenda, not with a noble intention. And the third, oh boy, and that is the differences of Sahaba. I always come and say, this Sahabi was wrong, and he, whoa, that's the end of Iman. Those who seen the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and seen that golden era, and brought Iman on him. Somebody told Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, you seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, yes. Said, لَوْ رَأَيْنَاهُ عَمَلْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ أَعْنَاقِنَا. Oh, if I seen him, I wouldn't have allowed him to walk on the ground, I would have carried him on my shoulders. Hudhayfa ibn Yaman said, brother, revoke your sentiments, retract your words. If you were with me on the occasion of Khandaq when it was so cold that we dug holes and we went into the ground, I don't know if you would have preserved your iman or not. I don't know at that time. The Prophet said, مَنْ يَأْدِينِي بِخَبْرِهِمْ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ رَفِيقِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whoever will stand up and intercept some information from the opposite camp, Allah will make him my friend in Jannah. فَمَا قَامَ أَحَدْ. Nobody stood up, it was so cold. He said, who will stand up? Nobody stood up. He said, for the third time, we had dug holes and we were into the ground. Then he looked at me and he said, Hudhayfa, I'm expecting you to stand up. I then stood up and he prayed for me, and as I started walking, I felt like I was walking in a hot shower. You telling me you would have walked with the Prophet of Allah on your shoulders? My brother, talk is cheap. It's very easy. Anyway, Hassan Hussein and Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu, they go, فَفَاتَتْهُمْ أَثْطَالُهُمْ لِبَعْضِ الطَّرِيقِ. On the way to Hajj, they lose their provisions. فَرَأَوْ خِبَاءً, they see a tent, فَمَالُوا نَحْوَهُ, they go towards it. فَرَأَوْ عَجُوزَةً, they see an old lady there. So they said, sister, can you help us? We've lost our provisions. We had everything, we lost it. You know, you could be traveling, and from instant affluence, it could be instant poverty. Just let your credit card go missing, or your phone go missing. And how suddenly it can happen. I mean, I travel often. The one brother told me, Shaykh, the way you're traveling, you're going to read Qasr Namaz at home. The other one told me, he said, Shaykh, some have altitude problem. You got altitude problem. And I said to myself, because when you're traveling, it's your passport, it's your phone. So what? I said, I wish I was so possessive over my iman. I wish I was checking my iman so often. I abuse my sight, is my iman there? Abuse my hearing, is my iman there? I'm thinking nasty, is my iman there? I'm fantasizing, is my iman there? It's like, you jump in the plane.
You know, I was seeing this guy there at the airport, there he's sleeping now, his hand luggage is through and his passport is here, and now obviously he's going off to sleep now, and the bag is already, the passport is also burning, because it's the khair mafasil, as what they say in Arabic, you know. But I said, this was a sight to see. I was sitting the other day in Dubai, and I was like tired, hopped off a flight, I was flying to Paris, and exhausted, and here's this guy is walking, you know, and he was like really big and obese. And he's going to go to there. I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. I said, wow, I needed you, mama. Just see what you say. Euphemism at its best. Euphemism at its best. Like, I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. I said, good luck, brother. You brought a smile on my face. Whether you fat or you thin, good luck to you. For me, at least I'm laughing. Yeah. So what can happen to you at one go, my brother? Nobody is sitting soft. Don't think you anchored permanently, my brother. Nobody is sitting where he is permanently. Allah can flip at any time. And I lose my health, I lose my wealth, I lose my faith. We've seen it. Look at the political arena and what is happening around us. So they lost their provision. They came to this woman. They said, sister, will you help us? She said, I will have a goat, you can milk it. They milk the goat, they drink it. Sister, can you give us some food? She said, well, the goat is the only provision. Slaughter it and we'll eat it. So again, what did I tell you? Sayyidina Ali gave what he had. This woman gave what she had, nothing else. They slaughtered the goat and they eat of it. Then they say to her, نَحْنُ نَفَرُ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. We are from a noble descent. We are people of the Quraysh. فَإِذَا رَجَعْنَا مِنَ الْحَجِّ. When we return from Hajj, فَأَدِمْنِي بِنَا. Make a turn to Medina. فَإِنَّا صَانِعُونَ بِكِ خَيْرًا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. We would love to compensate you for your kindness and your goodness. She said, okay, Allah knows best. If it's meant to happen, we will meet. Off they go, and this woman at home, nothing left. The husband comes back. Where's the goat? No, there were some good people and we milked it and gave it. Okay, then what happened thereafter? They were hungry, so we slaughtered it. So he goes into a fit and a rage. تَذْبَحِينَ شَاتَنَا لِقَوْمٍ لَا نَعْرِفُهُمْ ثُمَّ تَقُولِينَ نَفَرْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. This is absurdity. This is bizarre. This is just crazy. You slaughter the only goat we have for people unknown to us, and then you want to appease me that these are noble people, they'll compensate us. Things get worse in life. جَاءَتْ سَنَةٌ مُجْدِبَةٌ. Drought and famine. It starts deteriorating. So they come on the outskirts from Makkah, walk in the search of a job and provision. They come to Medina. يَلْتَقِتَانِ الْبَعْرَ. And they are literally picking up cow dung. They are picking up the droppings of an animal to get some form of revenue. وَالْحَسَنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ جَالِسٌ عَلَى بَابِ دَارِهِ. And Sayyidina Hassan is sitting at the door, at his patio, at his veranda, and he looked at that woman, and he said, hey, but this is the very woman who assisted me. So he called out to her, Ya Amatallah, ata'rifinani? Sister, you know me? She said, I have no clue who you are. Ana ahadu duyufuki yawma kada sanata kada fi makani kada. You remember some years ago at this time, there were some people who passed by and there were some travelers. I am one of them. She looked at him, she said, no, I have no idea. I'm reminded of the quotation of Luqman. He told his son, oh my son, something in life you must remember and something in life you must never remember. The thing in life you must remember is those that are kind to you. And the thing in life you must never remember is those to whom you are kind. We've got a good memory. Yeah, I remember 20 years ago you came to my house asking me for money. To complete the sentence, I didn't give you. Complete the sentence. People don't complete the sentence. You go to a person's house, they got the Ada min fadli rabbi. People, you li habluwani. Li habluwani. Aashkuru am akfur. People put this at the entrance of their door. You know, nice. This is the boon of my Lord. It is the boon, but complete the ayah. To test me if I am grateful or I am arrogant. People don't say that. Selective hearing. That's the whole life, man. You have to be there in the talk, and at one point you had to hear. And the other point I didn't hear. He says, no, I know who you are. You are the very sister, I know. If you say, oh no, she doesn't know, she can't remember. Okay, never mind, keep her sister. No, I know who you are. Hassan. Why? Because the tarbiyah was from his dad to give.
He called his slave and he said, give her 1,000 goats and 1,000 dinars. 1,000 goats and 1,000 dinars. So give 1,000 goats, and then he said, now take her to my brother. So he goes to Hussein radiallahu anhu. So if it was like me, you went to my brother, I said, yes, yeah, that 1,000 is 500, 500 from us together. I was just reducing goes off from a common account. You know, we do our zakat together, we do our calculations together. That's how we think. Said, become wasalaki akhi. What did my brother give? My brother gave 1,000. Okay, take another 1,000 from me. 1,000 dinars, gold coins, and 1,000 goats. Then they send her to Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu, the cousin. When this woman comes to Abdullah ibn Ja'far, Abdullah ibn Ja'far said, لو بدأت بي لأتعبتهما. You know, sister, I don't want to be insensitive to the donations of my cousins. And I don't want to upstage them. But if you started by me, I would have given you more than what they both collectively can give. But if I give now, it might look like I'm trying to upstage them. So I don't want to beat them. So I'm going to give you 2,000 exclusive from my side. فَعَادَتْ إِلَىٰ زَوْجِهَا وَقَدْ أَخَذَتْ 4,000 dinars و4,000 shirts. So she goes back to her husband and she says, listen, I don't know what Allah has kept in Jannah for us, but in this world the returns have been for the one lean, weak, frail goat. We have a handsome return of 4,000 goats and 4,000 dinars. This is the return that Allah has given us. I can see my time is running out. Like I said to you in the beginning, and obviously the brothers from Islamic Relief will come forward and they will take the cause. May Allah free us from greed. May Allah free us from the spirit of greed, from monetary greed. The ayat al-kareema that I recited, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدًا. He thinks his wealth will endow him with perpetual life. أَيَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدًا. I have the wealth, I will amass it and I will live longer and longer. No! There was this person who built this beautiful palace. It's in Arabic, right? I'm not going to even translate it because time is short. So he built this beautiful palace. And then he called a pious man. He said, come and look at it. What do you say? Is this palace good? He said, هذا سرور لولا غرور ونعيم لولا أنه عديم وملك لولا أنه هلك وفرح لو لم يعقبه ترح ولذات لو لم تقترن بآفات وكرامة لو صحبتها سلاما. Meaning, it is a palace provided it doesn't deceive you. It's comfort provided it's eternal. It's awesome provided there's no challenge in it. And nothing of this world is like that. Everything you have is temporary, everything you have is a challenge, everything you have has a setback and a snag. So, the call is to respond to the orphans, the millions of orphans that are languishing across the globe. Who would come forward, inshallah, at this time? You know, in English they say, he who gives at the right time doubles his gift. He who gives at the right time. You were fortunate enough, you came with a simple gift, but you gave it to your mom at the time she needed it. Oh, you're just too fortunate. I pray to Allah often that, oh Allah, give me the ability to be that fortunate son that I can fulfill the desire of my parents at that time. Because that's the time the dua that comes out is just magic. This is magic. That, you know, at that particular time your mom was desiring something but she didn't articulate it. And Allah gave you the guidance and you brought it at that time, and the dua is just amazing. Or your dad's dua, or any pious person or any man for that matter. So this is the time, where is the time of Ramadan, where we are on the verge of ending with Shawwal and embracing this great, noble and sacred month. How we can reach out to those orphans and double our reward by giving, inshallah, who will stand up?